Thanks, Ronnie and band. I moved like almost every, like to say every single week, but maybe I'm hyper-spiritualizing, but almost every single week here by different people that are leading worship here. And there's something happening here. Like, we just need to be so thankful for what God is doing in our midst. And especially on a Sunday morning, when we're receiving and we're being reminded that we want God's grace to find us. And I'd be remiss to say, I wonder if there's a couple of us that are hiding from that grace. He wants to find you and give you something good. A good gift. He wants to find you. He wants to find me. What a great reminder of God's goodness in us and for us. Like Paul said in his sermon last, I could just go home now. But I prepared a sermon. And we're going through a series. And we need to look at this, because I really do believe, like in the last few weeks in particular, God has been speaking to us as a community. And so it's been a delight and privilege to be teaming up with Paul, and I say Peter as well, because he started off this series in looking at the Sermon on the Mount, particularly the Beatitudes. And so I want to thank Paul for jumping in as well, and we're going to have an opportunity to hear from, it's funny, I was going to say Mr. Eckert, and I just did, but it's like, whoa, blast from the past. And Harold, we're looking forward to hearing from Harold in a few weeks, as well as from Ron Friesen from Columbia Bible College, as well as Steve Clausen from the Mark Center. And we're just looking forward to what God has in store for us in hearing. And would we have soft hearts to hear what God is speaking to us? Because that vision statement that we have, that we're here to discover and follow Jesus, it's not just, I think the discovering part isn't just for those of us that don't know who Jesus is. I think the disciples who knew who Jesus were discovering new things about him and attributes about him every single day. Like, what? Huh? That's what he's about? And we see those images and that storyline. And so I think we have to have this posture of humility, and even coming to church going, would God be speaking to me today that I could discover more about who he is, so that I can follow him closely and closer, so that maybe, just maybe, the kingdom of God would get a hold of us and a hold of me, so that other people would be attracted to it and other people would be able to accept this great, great, good, graceful gift that God would be willing to give. And this is what it's about: God coming and giving us his love, his grace in our lives. So God, would you be with us? God, have mercy. It's a simple prayer. I've titled this sermon, Mercy Me. Sometimes it's Mercy Me. And it's an expression of exclamation, like mercy, whoa. But it's also a question mark. Mercy me. Am I willing to be the recipient of mercy? And we're not going to get to it today. But some of us know that the parable of the unforgiving servant, and I'm going to allude to it, but where a person who is given much mercy and a debt, huge debt that was taken away, and that person with a hard heart, somehow him receiving that mercy didn't affect his heart, didn't change here, because he went back to the person that owed him some money and he wanted that person thrown in jail. And I'm like, I don't want to be like that. I want people to keep me in check, to be a person that when I receive mercy, that I would be willing to give it away as well. And so I think we need to be coming at that attitude every day. And here this morning, of humility, saying, God, what are you teaching me about who you are? How can I discover more about who you are? Because if I think I have it figured out, I've lost my way. Because there's new attributes, new good graces of God that we can learn his mercy. So mercy me. Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. We've been looking at this topic, and we've been looking at lots of the background. I'm going to pass over that today. Usually that's a highlight. I usually spend 15, 20 minutes on that, but we're not going to, because I think we understand what's happening and what Jesus is doing here, and what he's speaking to these people, these ancient people, years and years and years ago, but he's also speaking to us. And the Sermon on the Mount starts off with the Beatitudes, and he's saying, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And so I think we need to define what mercy is. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. There's compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm, withholding judgment that is deserved. There's also an aspect that isn't written down for you, but there's also an aspect of that. It's just a simple act of kindness and compassion. And it gets a little bit deeper when we understand that mercies would be that I should be getting this, but someone's withholding punishment from me. And in fact, not just withholding punishment from me, is showing me kindness and compassion. And so I hope we can unpack that today. These are verses that many of you, if you've been a Christian, even for a short amount of time, you've probably heard this. You've looked at the Beatitudes. And we're just praying that God would, we discover something new about Jesus today. It's an act of kindness and compassion. If you look at the whole biblical narrative, mercy is a huge concept, and it's integral here to understanding who God is and how he deals with us, how he deals with mankind. In English translations of the Bible, it comes out in expressions like to be merciful, to have mercy on, to show mercy toward, and merciful. And it describes a quality of God and what God requires to deal with a people. And so I'm going to read these aren't my words, and I forgot to write down where it was a commentary. I think it might have been Matthew Henry. But I'm going to read this to you, because it's not my words, but it gives a good understanding of the bigness of mercy for us in to understand this context, okay? Pardon me as I'm reading the words and not interacting here, but listen. Mercy and hesed, God's love, his covenant love, are integrally related. So close is the relationship that hesed, love, sometimes is to be viewed in terms of mercy. In this relationship, mercy then comes to be seen as the quality in God that directs him to forge a relationship with people who absolutely do not deserve the relationship with God. Mercy is manifested in God's activity on behalf of his people to free them from slavery. It is neither theory or principle. As the passages taken up with the establishment of the covenant with Israel show, God's mercy is the driving force in leading him to create a relationship with Israel, with his people. I'm still reading. Its meaning through hesed extends to that of loyalty based on merciful love and loyalty that maintains a covenant relationship despite Israel's own resistance in them saying, no, we don't want it. But God continues to show mercy. Still reading, one more paragraph. God's mercy is mediated through his covenant, which he begins and becomes the God of people, promising protection, provision, guidance, and constant presence. Because God is the initiator, the mercy he gives is gracious, is unmerited, undeserved. Within the relationship, God's mercy is thus closely linked to forgiveness. And it's the most basic disposition is compassion leading to forgiveness. And to steadfast love by which God sustains the covenant and repeatedly forgives his people. So mercy is highly related with undeserved. It's a gift. It's given. It's the driving force behind God's act of love. who's giving compassion, empathy and compassion, and forgiveness. So that's why, like, if you do a search, like, there's so many times mercy is quoted in the Bible. His mercies are new every morning. Mercy. Sometimes you can just say a prayer, God, have mercy on me. There's that verse of in the New Testament where Jesus says, and you know, there's these guys that went up to pray, and they went up and they had all these flowery speeches to everyone to hear. But then there's another guy that didn't even go to the temple. He said, God, have mercy. And Jesus is saying, this is the guy. This is whose prayer I'm going to answer. So it comes from a heart of being soft as well, to receive it, but also to give it. And I'm hoping that we can unpack that this morning. So if mercy is a driving factor of love, of hesed, of covenant being with someone, and it moves into compassion and empathy, I want to unpack that a bit. To be empathetic with another, mercy is being empathizing with someone, and then not just kind of pitying, like, oh well, that poor soul. It's being empathizing, but then moving to do something about it. So there's an act in it as well. So empathy comes from two Greek words, em and pathos. So em means, basically, that means to enter. So enter into suffering, empathy. Some of you have that gift, actually. And you're like, wow, I wish it wouldn't feel like this all the time. You're feeling somebody's empathy. So there's this idea that we enter into somebody else's suffering. But then compassion is calm and pathos together. And that means alongside. Calm is alongside, to come alongside someone. So empathy is entering in, feeling it, and then it's compassion is to come alongside. That's the doing. I'm going to do something now. I'm going to show, I almost fell on you. And I'm going to show compassion. I'm going to do something. So mercy is all wrapped up into that. And so it's as a person enters into another person's suffering or perspective, then they're moved to compassion and mercy is displayed. Sound right? It can be general, like an act of kindness, but it also becomes very specific. Not to bring the judgment that one deserves, instead to show the kindness that they don't deserve. So it might be kind of more, and sorry if you're not a parent, maybe you're an aunt or uncle or whatever. It's a little easier to do this when you're an aunt or uncle, maybe. And when your son or daughter does something that you're just like, what? And there's first part of you just want to, like, give them a shake. Or, you know, or, like, I'll say it, I don't do it. But, you go, you just want to give them a swat or something. You want to do something. But then your love for them, your compassion, you're going, okay, what about if I was in their shoes? Okay? This might be, even for, as a parents of teenagers, you know, you were there, right? But sometimes we forget about it. And so, what if I was in their shoes? What would I want? What would I want if I was in their shoes? And so it's that kind of understanding about mercy. What would I want if I was in their shoes? Well, the amazing thing of mercy is God did just that. God did just that for us. He walked in our shoes. He moved into the neighborhood. God of the universe became near and close. He lived up to his name, Emmanuel, God with us. So Jesus does this. This is what Jesus does for us at Christmas time and at Easter, that he came, he moved in, but then he just didn't move in, but he acted on it. He went, whoa, these people are lost. We need to do something about it. And so at the cross, we see the pivotal point where God's mercy is displayed for all eternity and every single person, and all of creation for that matter. Jesus does this. He enters into the experience of being a sinner. That's a mystery, because he wasn't a sinner. He's the only sinless person. Yet he's on a cross and he takes on the sin of all of us. And God does what? Scripture says that for a moment, for a time, for 3 days, he turns his back towards. And so Jesus enters in and empathizes with us and says, even though I'm not a sinner, I'm sinless. But somehow the mystery of God and his great love and mercy to us, Jesus enters into our stuff and takes our place. That is unbelievable, that the God of the universe would do this. I'm looking forward to kids camp because we're talking about that. And I'm trying to figure out how do I display the awe and wonder of the miraculous God who's created everything, and there's an expanding universe that's getting bigger and bigger, and yet he came as this small child in love to show mercy and act in love and compassion. In Jesus, God in Jesus, instead of giving us the hell that we deserve, he gives us the heaven that we don't deserve. And that heaven, according to what Jesus is saying here in the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, that heaven, there's an inbreaking of that heaven right now called the kingdom of God that's happening right now. There's a bit of heaven and earth that's happening in amongst us. We heard stories last week of Paul talking about that guy that was like, he's baptizing thousands of people in Africa. He's just listening to what God's saying. He's going to the desert area, sitting with the diviners, and says, you need to understand who Jesus is. He prays with them, they do, boom. And so we don't necessarily see it as dramatically as what's happening in other areas. Partly I wonder if it's because of our hard hearts, even of North America. But would we see the inbreaking of God's heaven on earth here? We have experienced, we receive God's mercy, the heaven that we don't deserve, he's given to us now. This love, this forgiveness. And it's in that we choose to accept this mercy that Jesus is offering us. That we become changed people from the inside out. From the inside out. Not only change individually, but us change as a people. And that's why we say life groups are important. We got to get together with people. You got to mix. You got to mingle. You got to experience life. We're a new tribe, a people that are rich in mercy. This verse wouldn't be on. I was looking and just kind of looking over my sermon last night. I came to this verse in 1 Peter 2:9 and 10. It says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare his praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You once had not received mercy. Now you have received mercy." And it was killing me. The last week and a half has been killing me because I'm reading that little verse for a week and a half. "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." And I'm like, okay, the definition of mercy itself is unmerited favor. So is that verse like a tit for tat? Is it a reward? I'm going to eat my broccoli and my carrots, and then I'm going to get my cookie. Right? Is it, I'm going to show mercy so that I get mercy. Right? Has anyone else thought about that today? When you go, okay, how does this work? Right? Okay. And then I'm going, okay, but God, there is these things that happen, but the kingdom of God is so different than what we even understand. And I'm trying to unpack that. I'm reading commentaries. I'm like, okay. And they're not, like, some of them doing justice for me, but I'm trying to understand. And one guy was basically talking about, and he alludes to the parable of the unmerciful servant, that our hard hearts, it's God changing us. The kingdom of God is changing us from the inside out. He changes us in here so that we can display his glory out here. We're not doing this to get this. So there's an inbreaking in our lives in here. But you say, well, Scripture says it. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So this guy who was given mercy, but then his hard heart didn't allow it to see it and to recognize it. And then he goes and is unmerciful with somebody else. He doesn't experience mercy. And I'm wondering, because we read it in a Western worldview, that going, okay, if we do this, then we get this. Like law understanding. And I wonder, and then I'm reading this morning, thanks to Jordan. Jordan likes to come in early. I thought I'd join him. I beat him here today. Yes. First time ever. And, you know, we're sitting in the parking lot just after 7. And he usually listens to Bach. Bach? Am I saying it right? So he listens to Bach. And it's usually loud enough that I don't even have to open my car door. And we don't, it's an unwritten rule. It's not like we get out high-five. It's just like, hey, doors don't open until 7:30. We don't even have to talk to each other till then. You know, the odd time we text each other in the car back and forth. But I mean, and so this morning I was like, oh, put your window down. I want to listen to Bach as I'm just reviewing my sermon. And I'm reading this verse in 1 Peter about you becoming a royal priesthood. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. And I went, aha, I wonder if this is it. I wonder if, blessed are the merciful because they will receive mercy. I wonder if this is it. Jesus in the New Testament always speaks. It's almost everything is about, in the French word, instead of saying it's me or we, like nous or vous, it's speaking about us. It's speaking about people. So when you become a Christian, you receive His mercy and grace in our lives. We receive it. We're like, I can't do anything without you, God. This is unbelievable. Our hearts are softened. We receive His grace and His mercy, and we go, oh, that's amazing. And then guess what? You're plunked into a community. It's not just me and God. Scripture's full of, it's about people in a covenant community. That's why we had a membership, people in a membership last week. It was awesome. It's great to see people like, I want to be a part of this thing. And a bit more commitment. Let's do it. That's why we say we want to be in. And so bear with me here. So I want to really hammer this in. So as I'm living and receiving mercy as a Christ follower, discovering His good news in my life, guess what? I live with all of you and my wife and my kids who are Christ followers and want to display His goodness to people. And so what happens is I receive mercy from all of you. I receive mercy. I received mercy from someone last week for what I said. I receive mercy from people who are Christ followers because they want the inbreaking of the kingdom for God to say it's not about this or that. It's about unmerited favor, and this is it. And so I wonder here, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. As you receive Jesus into your life, you are always in community with other believers. And sometimes we run away because we get hurt by other believers too, right? I'm not saying this is all, you know, everyone's got their ducks in a row here. No, we do. But then I want to extend mercy to someone that's hurt me and vice versa. And I'm learning to live in the kingdom through relationship with other people and my relationship with God. You're a royal priesthood. So that's just the thing on the reward thing. I don't think it's a reward. I think it's more of Jesus talking about you're receiving mercy. Now you're going to, and you're going to show it, and you're going to receive it because you're around people that are going to show it. I'm almost guaranteed. And then the question is, are you around people that are showing it? Don't run away. We love you. You've been hurt. We need to show. We need to go after people. We need to say, come alongside. Sorry, I messed up. That's part of the kingdom. A couple months ago, I remember someone saying to me, like, yeah, it's like family. Like, we shouldn't just run off. And that happens in this area all the time, right? I'm just going to church hop. I'm going to go to another. No, we need to understand the nitty gritty, and people are going to mess up. But we need to learn to love and forgive one another because that's what Jesus does. And I learned a lot from that person a few months ago that said, yeah, we just decided this is our family. We need, and I went, oh, that's it. The opposite of mercy, so this idea of receiving mercy, the opposite of mercy is judgment. I think we can jump ahead. Yes. I'll come back to that one. It's judgment, krino. Krino means to cut and divide, separate. Quick thing between judgment and discernment. We have to discern things every day, right? I'm like going, all right, am I going to eat the Twinkie for dessert, or am I going to eat it for breakfast? Or am I going to, like, how much sugar am I going to, I'm discerning things. I'm discerning whether or not that person, I'm not sure. Like, do I, I'm trying to discern what I do every day, and I'm judging different things. But what it's talking about here, when we judge a person's character, God is not wanting us to do that. And so judgment, lording over someone, that's separation. And it divides. And it cuts off. And that's the exact opposite of mercy. Judgment's a big deal. This goes against loving God, loving ourselves, and loving other people. Because there's a value. There's an unsurpassable value of every single person. And I can judge it like, especially when I was a teenager, but it happens now. Like, what kind of shoes they wear, and what are they doing? You're at the airport and you kind of watch people, and it's kind of fun, but then sometimes it's like, and then you get into like, you're like, what? Am I like some fashion thing? No, because I have a dowdy shirt on now. It's like 3 years old because I didn't get up early enough to iron my other ones, right? I'm like, okay. But, you know, and some of you guys are even going out, what is he wearing, right? Like, but there's this idea, we love to cut, we love to divide, we love to say, this is what we want to do. Mercy doesn't do that. Mercy moves towards judgment and moves away. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this, a man cannot raise himself up above any other man or set himself before a model, as a model, for he knows himself to be the greatest of all sinners. He can excuse the sin of another, but never his own. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I think we need to realize that and understand that. There's a story in the New Testament, Luke 10, 30, 37. I probably won't have time to read it, but it's about the Good Samaritan. Most of you will know about it. There's two religious, there's a guy that gets beat up. He's on a road. He gets beat up. And then there's two religious leaders that come walking by. And the author actually is in Luke. Luke is writing and he says things like, by chance, a priest came along. So it's like there's this, as Jesus is telling a story, there's this anticipation. So Jesus tells the story, this guy gets beat up, and then Jesus says, and by chance, a priest came along. And everyone's like, oh yeah, the priest is going to help him, right? And then what's he do? It says, the priest walked along on the other side of the road. And they say, oh, but then there was a temple helper that came by. Well, this person's for sure going to help him. And then no, Jesus' story talks about that person goes away. The message talks about he angled away from him. Like, he's judging, he's cutting, he's dividing. Say, between me and you? No, forget it. And then who's the hero of the story? The hero of the story, it says, a despised Samaritan. My goodness, the Samaritan understands the Beatitudes, his need for God. He's probably mourning the fact, he was maybe mournful. He was all of those things, meek. He knew his need for God. And this is what Jesus is saying. We need to understand this. And as we enter in, and the Samaritan probably went, if I was in his shoes, what would I do? The Levite and everyone else had things to do. They had people to see, people to go, stuff to do. And what happens? Jesus says at the end, who is the neighbor? Because they're trying to trick him. And then the guys go, the one who showed mercy. The one who showed mercy. Empathy moves you to compassion, and compassion has us act and do something about it. Handing out mercy is hard, but it's essential for the follower of Jesus. This is what we are to do for others. 1 John 3:16 says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. We also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. We are to show mercy the way God has shown mercy to us. God ascribes unsurpassable worth to every single person despite our sin. And we are to ascribe unsurpassable worth to those around us despite their sin and their warts and everything we don't like about them. It's the central mark of the kingdom. Whatever else is implied in acknowledging God as king, at the very least it implies that we commit to agreeing with God's opinion that people are worth it. And he expresses this opinion to every single person and creation on Calvary when he gives up his life And Jesus says, we need to. And it's, let me tell you a quick story before we finish here. Shout out to my youth leaders. Thank you. They gave me a little gift for this year. I don't know why. That was awesome. It was great. And so the gift was to go to Cirque du Soleil. Phenomenal, by the way. So my wife and I are on the way into Sea Cirque, and we left at 3:30. Show starts at 4:30. Okay. I wasn't speeding, no. And but I'm like, I'll pay a toll anytime. Like, that was amazing. Nothing got kind of backed up until about like Main and Terminal. Anyone driven down there in the last little while? Main and Terminal, oh my goodness. Like, trying to get into the science world. And it's a screeching halt. But before that, like, people were like, it was just a smooth thing, and people were letting me in, and it was like, hey, yeah, great, I was gone. All of a sudden, I'm going down, and Sharon told me to tell this story, by the way. And so I thought, that's a great story. Can I tell it? She goes, yeah, it's a great story. But you'll see. And so as we're driving, I'm realizing, hey, people have let me in different ways, so I didn't have to get behind a big truck, and people have let me in. It's amazing, right? And so now we're at Main and Terminal, and I realize it's like 4:15, 4:12. We're meeting friends, because Sharon, Sharon wanted me to tell you this. She's concussed. So long story, but Sharon had a concussion. Mayal gave her a concussion. So we don't have time to get into it. It's hit a swing, hit her in the face, and it's been hard this week. She's been off. Doctor told her she had to go off work, and like, she had to be in the quiet room for like 4 days, and it's been crazy. She's getting better, and that's a good thing. So she couldn't come to the show, Cirque du Soleil, because it'd be like, whoa, overstimulation, right? So we're meeting a friend there, and then she was going to meet the other the wife and go for a walk along the seawall. So we're driving, and now I'm Main Terminal, and I'm on that's by the flea market in there. I'm trying to get in, and then I'm like, oh, I resolved in my head, 15 minutes. It's not going to take me 10 minutes to get from there to there. I'll have enough time. It'll be fine. Sharon's like, well, would you go? What are you doing? You're letting this person in. Like, because there's people trying to get. I'm like, oh, yeah, go ahead. She's like, what are you doing? Like, and she's getting upset with me. And as I tell these stories, I usually a little bit more demeaning on myself. But this one's showing some good character on me, on my behalf. And which is a good thing. And Sharon said, it's good for you to tell that once in a while. So as I'm doing, I'm letting people in. She's like, don't let people cut in. I'm like, no, it's fine. And I'm finding quite a lot of joy in it. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Maybe because I've been studying about mercy. Blessed are the merciful. You'll be shown mercy. And so I'm doing this. And Sharon, like, finally, she's like, stop it. And now she's not supposed to really be talking. She's not supposed to be stimulated. She's not supposed to do whole. A little bit before that, we almost got in an accident because I shoulder checked a little bit too long, and I was 6 inches from someone, and heard a gasp. Usually she yells, it was a gasp, but I heard the gasp and I got out of the way and we're fine. So her heart rate's going, and I thought maybe that's going to help her head, actually. And so we're going, and finally I say to her, in the most loving, but I realize now maybe super spiritual way, but it was really true. I said, Sharon, you know, like, I'm finding quite a lot of joy in letting these people in. How can you do that? I'm like, I'm finding, like, so I'm letting people in. Long story short, we got there. I got there within seconds of getting in, and then we got our seats, and everyone behind us basically had to wait 20 minutes because they only let you in a certain time because of what's happening in the show. But Sharon said that, she goes, and then we chatted about that. She goes, that's it, letting people in. Like, allowing people in your life, interrupting your life, so that you can show some mercy and some compassion to them. But we're so fixed and focused on a goal sometimes, or what we're supposed to be doing, that some people along the way, we angle away from them. And I wonder, as believers in Jesus, how we're discovering the goodness of who God is, that His mercy in our life would change us so that we would be people of compassion, people of empathy. For we don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one that's been tested and tempted in every way, Hebrews 4. So in our time of need, we can ask for grace and mercy, and He will give it to us in our time of need. Jesus does that for us. Would we be willing to do that for others? Aaron's going to come up and lead us in communion here. It's a great act of what God has done in our life, what he's revealing to us in the person of Jesus, his great mercy in our life. And as we do it, we're going to listen to a song. We're not going to do it twice. We're just going to do it once. And so we're going to listen to a song by Matt Redman, Mercy. And as we do it, she'll lead us in communion, but I want us to understand this great mercy that God's given us in the person of Jesus. And how does that change our everyday life? Would we allow God in? Would we allow him to soften our hearts? Would we be willing to work with and live with people that would show us mercy, like I received this last week? Just to know, like I've known Peter for so many years, the mercy that he's shown me, it's been phenomenal. Especially I was a young little runt as a youth pastor. And I want to publicly say thank you, Peter, for that. I learned so much. We learn so much from each other as we can give and receive forgiveness and grace and mercy one for one another. Because God has given it to us. Would we be willing to give it to others? Aaron, come on up.